I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You are listening to Preconceived, where we examine the preconceptions that shape how we view the world and the paradigms by which we live our lives.
Hey everybody, I'm Zael Mednick, and welcome to another episode of Preconceived. As I myself am expecting the birth of my first child, and am, I was going to say mildly, but extremely terrified, I've gone through the naming process and trying to pick a cool name, a name that I like, and I've realized that it's a pretty complicated process. How do you choose a name that you're going to be happy with, not just now, but as the child gets older? What are some of the factors that go into choosing a name? As I've grappled with some of these things on what on some levels is a low-level decision, but on the other hand feels like it's a big decision, I thought that it would be interesting to chat with somebody who specializes in helping people choose names and to go over some of the factors and considerations that some of us might not consider during that naming process. So I am joined today by Steph Cofield. Steph is a name consultant, content creator, author, and a mom of three living in the Midwest. She's loved baby names since before having children, and her goal is to help clients find new inspiration and ideas through creativity and personalization. Steph can be found on her socials at Names with Steph and on her website, nameswithsteph.com. All right, Steph Cofield, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So this topic I've wanted to do for a while, actually. It's been on my list for a couple of years. There's some topics that have just stayed on my list for a couple of years, but I haven't done them. But it's more relevant to me now than ever because, as I mentioned in the introduction, I'm having a kid. And amongst being terrified for so many reasons, there's the stress of a name. And one of the preconceptions might be, for me at least, was just that, oh, kind of, you'll just, there'll just be a name that you'll love and shouldn't be that hard. There's so many names out there, but I found it really challenging. And yeah. There's so much advice out there and so many names out there that it can be overwhelming. So when I learned about you and that you are a name consultant, I thought, what an incredible way to challenge some of those preconceptions and maybe provide people a framework so they don't have to go through that same degree of stress.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I always say it's way easier to name a baby before you're pregnant, before you have one on the way, because there's a lot less pressure. And then once you actually know there's a baby coming and a whole human coming into the world, it feels a lot more intense.
So let's start, I guess, with your process, so to speak, in helping someone choose a name. When someone comes to you, a lot of people probably haven't heard of a name consultant before as a career. So what is your general process when somebody comes to you to try and help them navigate the process?
So I have a Google form and you fill out a questionnaire so I can get to know basically your name criteria, what you're thinking about for this name, your inspiration names. You give me your inspiration names and you give me your definite no's, like, my sister's son is named this, so I'm not going to use that, right? So I don't suggest that. And you pick a bunch of different themes so that I know kind of what you're leaning towards. Some people love a quirky name with like an uncommon first letter like Z or Q. And some people love a more traditional or trendy name. Some people want like surnames as first names or mythological inspired, nature inspired is huge all the time, gender neutral, all that. So you tell me kind of what you're thinking. And you answer all these questions for me. You tell me a little bit about you and your partner, if it's applicable. And then I give you a curated list based on that criteria that you set. You know, like some people are very adamant. We have a long last name. The first name has to be four letters or shorter, right? Some people are very adamant that they're like, we want all of the family to start with the letter C. So there's some, they give me the criteria and then I give you a curated list of, you know, names just for your family.
That's pretty cool. And we're going to dig into some of those factors and that questionnaire, some of the things you look at and some trends too, that you have been seeing over the years too, because I'm so curious about that. But what, if there is an issue with lists, what's the issue with just lists? Because some people might be listening to this and say, there's so much information on the internet. I, for one, can say one of the issues is it's overwhelming, but some people might say, well, there's so many lists on the internet. You should be able to kind of figure it out for yourself. And some people can, obviously, but what do you think is the hindrance or maybe the problem with the preconceived way of doing it, so to speak, of just going online and Googling and looking up all these lists?
So yeah, the difficulty there is basically research fatigue, name fatigue, and feeling really overwhelmed. I like to say that I can help in so many ways. It's not necessarily about giving you the name. Sometimes it's about helping you realize that your top name is still your top name. So going to an expert or someone, I look at names, you know, 365 days a year, I'm always looking at names. So I also have my dictionary or my bandwidth for like knowing what works and what flows together is just a little bit larger. And sometimes people, they get really frustrated and they're so tired of looking at names. I also ask, why are you going to a name consultant? Because you're right. This is, you know, I call it a luxury service because it's not something you need to do, right? And so, or people have an issue, their partner, and they cannot agree. They just can't agree. And they want somebody to come in and say, this feels like both of your styles. This is a vibe that fits your style and his style or her style. And you can kind of get fresh inspiration that way. Or a lot of times too, I hear, we really loved this name of yours and it took us down a rabbit hole to this other name that we ended up choosing. So sometimes it's about giving you that idea, like, oh my gosh, I never considered that name, and then finding that pathway. But I do have like a few preconceived notions that I think people go into with naming, if you want me to kind of expound on that.
Please.
So number one, I think people believe that if you give your children a traditional or classic name, that they'll be more successful. I think that is something people believe. Or if you give your child a really uncommon or unique name, that they will have a harder time in life and they will be bullied. And that is something that I actively try to educate against, because I think uncommon names can be empowering. I think they can help your kids stand out, and they are becoming really popular. But if you look back in history, because often I am asking my community for like, what's the coolest unique vintage name in your family tree? You'd be shocked. Like, the list is insane. There is no such thing as a normal name, right? Trends, names come and go. Popular, yes, John and Elizabeth are pretty standard, but they're back in the day, hundreds of years ago. And, you know, like, I don't know, you can go even farther to Greek and Roman times. There are so many cool and interesting names. So to say that, like, your kid can't be president or run a business because they don't have a standard classic name, I think it's wrong. Like, we should not be going in saying, well, this name will fix it for them, and this one won't get them bullied. I get a lot of comments on my videos where I share whimsical names and stuff that, or whimsical word names. And I get a lot of people saying, oh, that's for sure going to get you bullied, or that name's going to get you bullied. And I'm like, kids will bully for anything. We should be teaching our kids not to bully other children for being different. Right.
So my hunch would be, like, I totally agree with that. And you know more than me that there's no specific cause and effect. But I could also see some people saying, well, it's the first impression, or if you give somebody a really, really strange name, for example, and granted, strange is subjective, and we'll talk, I want to get into uniqueness of names, but you give somebody like a really out there name, it could kind of raise eyebrows every time the person meets somebody for the rest of their life. Not sure that that's going to stick with them, but if you go really, really out there when they're applying for a job, they might be like, whoa, this is a bit out there, and your first impression is kind of slanted into a certain direction. So maybe that probably puts some pressure on people to pick a name in a certain vein. What are your thoughts of that? That there isn't that cause and effect that, yeah, you name your kid, I don't know, I just came up with the name Avalanche, for example. Super weird. Sure. I've never heard of that. Let's say, like, super weird. I named my kid, or I'll say I wanted to name my kid Ocean, for example, which was vetoed by my wife quite quickly.
Yeah,
and the few people,
popular nature name. Yep.
And the people I said that to, they were like, yeah, like, most people didn't like it. I love it. But they also said, listen, everybody's going to see your kid Ocean the first time. They're going to think, like, that's kind of what's up with this kid, you know?
Right. It's hard because there's also like the whole, do you have to spell it out and tell the pronunciation?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, so people are like, well, I really want it to be easy to say and spell. That's one of the main things. It has to be easy to say and spell. But truthfully, I get asked how to spell Stephanie if it's with a PH or an F. I mean, classic names, like sometimes Sarah's with the H or the without the H. There are so many times that we have to spell our names, whether they're common or not. I think that's irrelevant as well. I understand where people are coming from, and I always respect that. But I encourage people to think outside the box and not be so like, well, if it's not easily seen, because you might go to a different country. My husband's from Scotland, and we pronounce names very differently just because we grew up in different countries, right? So just by picking something that you feel is safe, that's not a guarantee. I always say it's much better to pick something that you love. My kids have uncommon names. My oldest is 9, and I don't know if right now they really love their names. And I say that, but people are always like, well, that's when they're young. But I think I cultivate a household of like, you are special. Your name is special. We chose it intentionally for you. Mm. And you know what I mean? Like, most kids, all they need is love and support for the most part from their parents. So if you're like, oh yeah, we didn't care, blah, 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 whatever. Or, oh yeah, that was just a name. I think that will stick with them more. And yes, I do think there is something to be said for, you get those resumes in and you don't see the person, you just see the name Ocean. Or like, I loved the name Story for a girl. My husband vetoed that. We had to meet in the middle because I was way over here on the whimsy side and he's way over here on the boring side. But you do see that and you might say, okay, Avalanche, that is odd. But I hope that we get to a point where your merits on your resume and your background and your experience get you into that interview more than the fact that you like get eliminated because of your name.
Totally. That, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the goal. It's just, I guess, the reality that we're probably not there yet for so many things, not just names, just even your appearance and all sorts of things, the way you present yourself. I want to talk about uniqueness because you made a really great point there that there's trends and you said names come and go. A lot of people, I'm guessing, want to I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. Do a lot of people come to you wanting a unique name that not five kids in the class have?
Yes. Yeah, that's becoming a more of a thing. Yep, absolutely. It's becoming, I want something that, it's got to be easy to say and spell, but you want something that is more uncommon. So I always think, like, the good thing, though, is that our list, like back in the 80s when I was born, it was the most popular names were given to way more children than they are now, right? So even if your kid's name is Oliver, like something from the top 10, or Luna, which just sneaked into the top 10 for girls, which is a fantastic name, means moon. Those names are still given to less kids than if it had been, you know, 30, 40 years ago, right?
Gotcha.
So we are seeing so many more names. So your span and the thought that you'll be with five others is getting less and less, but it's still a concern. So there's like, I have a sweet spot in like the top 1,000 names where I'll tell people, you know, maybe look in this section, or, you know, like 200 to 500 is where I looked for inspiration for you, because based on what your criteria was. So I think, yes, people want something unique, because if you think about it, we're more online now. Our name is part of our brand. Like my brand is Names with Steph. Your name is your Instagram handle and your TikTok and all of your Facebook or whatever. People are more online. So it's different. Back in the day, it didn't matter, you know, John Smith, but now you look up a John Smith, there'd be so many of them, right?
That's such an interesting statistic. That's probably reassuring to people. One of my best friend's name is Michael, and he jokes like, why would my parents name me Michael? And he hates it. And he named his kid Nash, something like really, which I love, but it's more out there, obviously. But his concern was, I was like one of like five Michaels in my class. But to hear you say that, that's a much less common scenario right now because of the plethora of names that, there might be a few Michaels, but you're not going to live in a world where so many people have your name, because there are so many more names being chosen, even if you are in that top 10 or top 20.
When it comes to like classrooms, because I have a lot of teachers in my family, and one of my children started preschool. There is something that's happening I've been noticing, is that so many people are choosing certain letters to the point where there's like 7 to 10 names that start with an A in a classroom. So they're slightly different, but a lot of them feel very similar. So that's also been interesting, because yes, technically Amaya, she doesn't have anyone like her, but there's like an Ayla or whatever, you know what I mean? It's very interesting how some letters are becoming really popular.
And Luna is a really great example, because Luna was a name like 5 years ago when I wasn't even in a relationship, but I was like, it's just fun to think of names. I was like, that's a cool name. And I liked it a lot of people like it from Harry Potter, probably, that it gains a little popularity, but it was, I'm imagining, not even close to top 100, but now you're saying it's gotten into the top 10. So that's an example where people might be choosing a name that they think, oh, this is really unique, but they might be at the beginning of that. Of that spike. So how do you advise people if they want to be unique? Are there certain trends you can predict in advance, or are there also just flukes like Luna that there's no way of knowing?
Yeah, that's a good question. So if you go to the Social Security website, the Social Security Administration website for the US, you can see where names have been ranking since 1900. So Luna's actually been around since 1900, which is since we first have data, so probably even before, but it's never been super popular. But what you can see, if you go back and if you wanted to do Ocean, right, you could see, because...
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
That is in the top 1,000. You can see where it is moving up, and you can see how fast, and you can see, okay, every year it's jumping 40, 50 places, it's going to be popular. But if it like, it's kind of stagnant, you're probably good. Or if it's really moving slowly, but you can kind of see the ones like Margot is a current name that is becoming, when with the Barbie movie and Margot Robbie, that one's just going to keep moving up, I think. And so people think it's kind of quirky and cool, and it is. It's a great name, but it's going to get more popular. So choosing it now, you're going to be in the influx of everyone choosing the name Margot. So by the time your kids go to school in 5 years, there could be a lot of Margos.
And that's what's cool about going to somebody like you, right? Because I, in my mind, can think this is a cool name or it's not so common, but I don't really have that data. Yeah. And I guess it's accessible, but you're much more comfortable looking at that data to tell you, okay, well, just as a heads up, a lot of people are really into that name these days.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I thought it would be a cool example to see how you help somebody pick a name by helping me with my naming process. And we already kind of have a name, so this might not be the best exercise, but nonetheless, I'm open. And I gave you some criteria of what I was looking for. And I don't know if it's helpful for me to tell you now what we are thinking of or to tell you afterwards what we're thinking of. Whatever
you think. Wearing the name on here?
I'm happy to reveal the name here because this is about our baby's due in about a month. Okay. And this episode isn't going to air probably for a few months. So I actually get some relief here that I can kind of tell somebody what the name is.
Which I've kept quiet. So I wrote down some, like I said, I went to the 200 to 500 based on your criteria. And the ones I have are based on the fact that you said, you know, more traditional and classic, but you don't want it too common, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want something too popular and trendy, but you want something that seems, I think you guys maybe are one of those, like, we want to be able to say it and spell it easily-ish.
Yeah, so my name's Zale, as you know, and I mean, in theory, I would think that's not a hard name to pronounce, but it's rare, so it is, and people have, like, said Zero, Zalo. Yeah, people struggle. So I've always said it's important to me to have a name that's easily pronounceable. My last name's Mednick, which is like not super long, but it's a little bit clunky. So I thought a shorter name would be good. And by I mean we, my wife and me.
Yes, you're speaking collectively. Okay.
We wanted something a little unique. We wanted something that we don't know too many people with, which like you're saying is a common trend. Something kind of cool, but like not ocean cool, because
That's a little too cool.
Maybe a little too try hard. And so something, I guess, on the more classic, but still rare side. So those were some of the criteria that we had. So walk me through what your process was when I told you some of that.
Yeah. So I was thinking, okay, well, I was going to make sure it was still on the top 1000, just because if you want something that sounds more like a traditional name, as opposed to something like ocean or river, which are very popular, gender neutral, nature inspired names, and they're on the top 1000, but I felt like you didn't want anything too out there, right? So I tried to keep it to my top 1000. And then I looked specifically in between rankings of, actually, no, the lowest one was 127. So my rankings were between like the 100s and up to 500. And I specifically looked for shorter and cooler kind of sounding names, things that I think give off that kind of like effortlessly cool vibe based on that you said you want something that sounds kind of cool, you know, not necessarily, you know, there's mature sounding names and kind of stodgy sounding names, which there's so many different types. Some people want an old fashioned name like Felix, you know, that's adorable, but I didn't put that on your list. So I can tell you the text I put.
we're already doing well. Yeah.
Okay.
This is great. And before you say it, what you sent me an email as well with some of the parameters. You asked me a few more questions, and I just want to read this to give a sense of like the depth to which you go to. So gender neutral, dark and moody, surnames as first names, mythology inspired, traditional / classic, outside of the top 100, super uncommon, trendy popular, vintage old fashioned, nature inspired, elegant, quirky, biblical, nickname potential is important, any specific origin. So I was really impressed by the way you did that, because that's not necessarily, even though in my mind when I was going through names I had some criteria, these criteria are much more specific in a sense and probably would have helped guide me.
Yeah, and the origin thing happens a lot where I'll get somebody who's like from a Spanish speaking household and they marry somebody who's not, and they want a name that works in both Spanish cultures, Hispanic cultures, and in like American whatever culture. And that is tricky because I have to do a lot of research because I want to make sure that I'm honoring like what sounds don't work in both languages, right? Mm. Or I love it when people say, okay, we want something that works in German. This is the sound that we don't have in the German language, so that I avoid those names, right? So that's always good to know if you're trying to merge two different cultures, and going to a name consultant can be helpful. But I will still be doing a lot of research when you get me that brief, but it is, that's my job. I like to do that, right? So
super cool. Okay, well, I interrupted you. So go for it. No, I'm super excited because we're still open.
So, you're still open. Okay.
We're still open. So I'm excited to hear this.
No, I'm nervous.
Zero pressure at all. Just a fun exercise. And I rarely do these kinds of exercises on the show.
And the other thing was it had to go with Mednick.
Yes. I feel like for me, or I guess for a lot of people, flow is important to me, you know?
Correct. Yes. And like syllables, I talk about syllable length and flowing with the last name. Like if your last name ended with an N, I wouldn't give you some of these suggestions that end with an N. Anyway, so first up, I have Harrison at 127. I'm telling you the rank where they are.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I won't comment until you finish them. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay.
Then I have Sawyer at 131 because Sawyer Mednick, super cute. Then I have Kelvin at 148, Kelvin Mednick. Then we have Arlo, which I'm worried it's going to keep growing because people love Arlo, but I think it's so cute, short, easy to say and spell, hopefully. Arlo's at 169. Then we have Caden, C-A-D-E-N. There's tons of spellings of Caden, but that's at 223. This is the one syllable option, Bryce. Very cool sounding, B-R-Y-C-E. It's at 265, Bryce Mednick.
Ah.
I like it. Then we have Holden at 283. Then we have Sterling. So we're getting a little bit more uncommon here. Sterling probably is my most uncommon pick for you, but I think it's really cute. That's at 401. And then I have Colin, which I think is a kind of a classic name, but it's at 472. So it's not very popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, retro, you know, based on the top 1000, but still very well-known name. And then I have Bodhi at 484, B-O-D-I-E.
Wow, those are great. Those are some really cool choices. There's some variety there. I love the name Bodhi. I know somebody with a kid named Bodhi, so I wouldn't, but that's a really cool
exactly.
one. That's so interesting to just hear that list all together, which is why I didn't want to interrupt you, just to kind of get the vibe overall.
Yes, exactly.
And that's really cool. Like I love Sawyer. I love Calvin. Also how you can go Cal. You talked about nicknames before.
Yes.
Arlo. So and then Bryce, when you said that, that feels like a strong, cool name. And it goes well with Mednick with the one syllable.
I kind of like it. Yeah, I like the Bryce.
I'm curious, what were some, you mentioned there were certain syllables you would have, or certain sounds or letters you would have avoided with Mednick, for example.
Like I wouldn't do Dominic Mednick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do something like that. But I don't mind the alliteration of like an M name, like, but then again, like, so Maverick is kind of a popular cool guy name right now, Maverick, but Maverick Mednick is kind of a mouthful. Yeah. It's not terrible, but I don't know that I'd do that. But yeah, you could do like Marcel Mednick, or, you know,
Marcel. My wife literally just pitched Marcel. I gave it. She pitched it as a middle name, and she really likes French names, and I really like Italian names. But I don't think Marcel's for me. But she just pitched that. So, but you're on the right track.
Marcel's for me.
It's tough.
With everybody has a preference. I always say names are subjective, so you know, you really just. Everybody's going to like something different. It's hard to name a baby with somebody. It really is.
it's totally challenging. So I'll tell you the name we currently have. And I'm curious if that surprises you based on what the criteria that I gave you were, or whether you're like, yeah, that kind of fits with the vibe. And also give me some honest feedback, because we still got some time, right? So okay. Now I know you were going to say it's whatever you like, which is true, but maybe I'm missing something. Because I've thought about it a lot. I'm aware of how this name can be made fun of. I'm aware of kind of its origins, but maybe there's things I'm missing. Maybe I've got some blind spots here. So it feels climactic to say this, because we haven't really revealed it to anybody. So we've gone with Wes Mednick.
Wes. Just yes. W-E-S.
W-E-S. And we didn't go Wesley. Because we didn't want them to be called Wesley, even though it's cute. We thought Wes was a bit of a stronger name that we liked, and shorter that worked with Mednick a little better.
Yeah.
And we thought if we named them Wesley, we liked giving the optionality of both, but people would probably call them Wesley more than Wes.
And you don't like Wesley as much.
No, we prefer Wes.
And also there are some people who are like, I want a name that doesn't have nickname potential, because we're going to call him this anyway. So we don't want Calvin to Cal. We're just going to say Cal or Wes instead of Wesley. I like the name Wes a lot. My initial reaction is that Wes Mednick, it's almost too fast of a flow. It almost feels, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be, what's your name? Wes Mednick? It almost feels like one long name when you say it together.
That's a fair observation. And you know what? The flow for me, I've thought about it. I like it because it's short, and I was so keen on short, but I might have overcompensated a little bit in that regard. Because you're right, Wesley Mednick might actually flow a little bit better.
I do like Wesley Mednick. 2-2. I usually don't prefer the same syllables except for 2-2. Isn't that funny? So 2-2 is the one where my name is, I guess I'm talking more middle name too.
So we factored in middle name as well in terms of the flow. But you're right. I mean, nobody's calling them by their middle name on a regular basis.
Yeah. So
I was kind of thinking flow in terms of first, like Wes Mednick, and then Wes middle name Mednick. And I was actually thinking more in terms of the middle name for flow, if they ever decide to have like, I mean, now I'm planning my kid's life, but a lot of people now, like if they start a business or if they're an actor, whatever, do something in the arts, they might just scrap their last name for those purposes and use the middle name kind of as a surrogate for the last name. So that's how I was thinking about flow. So I'll tell you the middle name now.
Yeah.
God, I'm so nervous. So this one's a bit weird because I'm like prefacing already, because I feel like people won't be able to pronounce it well. And I don't even know. My wife is more keen on this than I am. Like I said, we like European kind of names and Latino vibes. And I lived in Italy for a year, so I have like a connection there. And this is also a character from one of my favorite books. Anyhow, we're going with, tentatively, Wes Elio.
Oh, I like Elio.
Do you like Elio?
I do.
Okay.
It's a strong choice to have that first name that ends in that S that brings into everything. So I love Wes. I think it's a fantastic name. It feels like it bleeds into everything. So it's hard to have those like Wes Elio, especially because it's an E middle name. But I love Elio. Doesn't it mean son or?
Yeah, so it means son. It's got Greek origins from Helios, but its main roots are Italian. which I loved. And then we're also Jewish, and it's got some Hebrew origins too. So that
I just did a Jewish Hebrew list. It's always hard for me when I do things outside of my culture, because I'm like, this is stressful. People get really upset if you mess up. I'm like, disclaimer.
Oh, don't worry. We're by no means Orthodox, so okay. that's fine. Okay, so your vibe is just, so you like Elio. Wes, you think you like on its own, but with Mednick, maybe some flow issues.
Maybe. I honestly think, I will say, I don't think it matters if you guys love Wes. Because to me, it doesn't have a strong enough issue with flow that you should say, no, we can't use this name.
Gotcha. So it's not like a slam dunk flow by any means. Some concerns, but not enough. No, seriously. No, but because it's all about pros and cons, but it's not one where you're like, no, you can't do that. That's it. I mean, obviously you would never say you can't do that, but it's not one of those ones where you say really, really horrendous flow.
No, not at all. No, okay. I think it's cute. And I do think people will say, oh, is it short for anything? But that happens all the time because people are naming their kids Leo. It's actually very trendy of you to do a 3-letter name. Those are becoming more and more popular, and definitely there's no nickname potential because they're 3 letters, which is great. I think it's a very cool name. Yeah, I definitely like it. And I like the one syllable with Mednick. I definitely do. Like I said, Bryce, the one syllable. And, you know, there's so many one syllable names, but I think it's a great name. And I love Elio. That's cool.
Give me the thought. So Wes Elio, let's say, because that was important to me. Like, could they turn that into a name? Do you feel like that sounds a little bit weird?
It's just that, yeah, because it starts with the vowel and it ends with the S. It just kind of goes into everything. So it feels a little, you know, how there's some names that have like a definite ending. There's something about Wes that doesn't, but it's a very, it's a cool sound. Do you know what I mean? It's like, my name's Wes. Hey, I'm Wes Elio. I don't think that's bad at all. Yeah, okay. I just think that's a different vibe than a name that ends in an or a duh sound, right?
So those ones kind of feed better into a vowel in the middle name. If you had something like Dean Elio, well, N isn't the strongest letter, but
no, like Kirk Elio.
Kirk Elio. Yeah, like a stronger consonant in the end. That would typically be something where you would say, oh, maybe you should consider a vowel for the middle name because it matches and juxtaposes kind of well.
Yeah.
Okay. But you've given some thought there. I really like Sawyer and Bryce.
Yeah.
So cool. Yeah.
Well, you never, I'm going to be so pumped when this baby arrives.
are there any other preconceptions that you think people have about naming their kids?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of gender stuff right now. There is something about, we are seeing it go away, but I still get people who are like, I really want a masculine, strong boy name, right? Hunter, and you know, Maverick is another one that people like, but we're also seeing people say, I want a softer boy name. I want Felix and Silas, which ends it. And I would say Wes as a ending in an S, that gives off a softer vibe. And I like that for men embracing that. We don't always have to like, I need a strong macho name, right? But the preconceived notion is that that's going to make them a strong macho guy is if you give them a strong macho name. And I don't agree with that. And then for girls, we're seeing a lot of times that we give them masculine names like Spencer and Cameron and or James and Logan. Those are becoming popular first names for girls because women, it's a good time for us to like be speaking up and, you know, with the Barbie movie and like just feeling more empowered. And I think people are starting to say, women don't have to have soft, dainty names. You know what I mean? Like but it is funny how men, when you give men a softer name, like how that's a more delicate issue, but it's totally fine. So for girls, there are so many people who come to me that want girl names because essentially all the names are for girls because we're happy to give our girls masculine names. Mm-hmm. So that opens up so many names, but we're not going to give our boy the name Samantha.
Or people might even be hesitant, I'm sure, to name their boy Sam because a lot of, I think I know people who say, not in a bad way, it's just a preference, but they say, you know what, I want that stronger guy name and I'd rather it not be for a boy or a girl. I'd rather stick with one that's only for a boy.
Yep. There's so many names like that so that we do kind of pigeonhole that guys have to have a certain, and if it is a softer guy name, it still has to be a guy name, right? Whereas girls, people are really embracing all names, and because there is no connotation.
Any other big trends that you've noticed or that you wanted to talk about?
Big trends, nicknames as first names is huge. Like, you know, people are giving their kids the name Lottie instead of Charlotte, and Birdie instead of Elizabeth. I mean, Hank instead of Henry, and shorter names that don't have nicknames. And then the softer boy names, vintage, old fashioned, like grandpa sweater wearing names are really big, you know, Walter and, you know, Enid for a girl, or Eunice or Beatrice, Florence, all of those. So yeah, I would say gender neutral is always big, vintage are always big, and nature inspired names.
Is nature inspired a newer kind of thing, or not?
Yeah, I mean, but not like, not as in like this year, but like in the last few, maybe. Yeah.
Well, such valuable insight that you've given. I think it's just, I mean, first of all, thank you for walking me through being a case study for you, because I think that just gives, aside from wanting your advice and your thoughts, it just is good to have an example to help people kind of walk through absolutely. How we give you some parameters, and then you kind of look and understanding your process a bit and how you then come up with some options. And then really just, I think a really important point you brought up with is, I guess, maybe take a little pressure off ourselves in terms of the names, in terms of that, well, what is this going to do to the child in terms of causality? I mean, there's probably studies out there about associations between certain names, but at the end of the day, naming your kid something is not going to cause them to be a certain way or prevent them from being a certain way.
Yeah. And some children change their name as they get older. You never, you know, you are giving them this first piece of their identity. So make sure it's something that you are connected to and that you love, and then release it. It's like, then that's who they are, and they'll do with that what they want. Some kids are like, no, I want to go by this nickname, or I wanted this, and it's then out of your hands. But yeah, you do the best with the information you have at the time. And
I got to run by you two other names that were vetoed, just to get your take, if my wife was or not. One was Cyrus.
I like Cyrus.
Okay. All right, cool. And that's you've changed my mind. That's got the two vowels that goes with Mednick a little bit.
I do like Cyrus. And it ends in the S, which I think you guys like. And yeah. I think that's a really lovely boy name myself, yeah.
Okay. And then the other one, which is totally out there, I'm guessing outside of the top 1,000, was Boston.
No, Boston's in the top 1,000, I think.
Boston's in the top 1,000. Jeez.
I mean, I could check. Yeah.
So it's more common than I thought. Okay. Anyhow, okay.
Actually, maybe it's not. I'd have to check. But like city place names are, yeah, those are cool.
Yeah, like Tennessee, Memphis.
Is it a special city to you?
No. Okay. I just like the name.
That's okay.
But I'm a huge Survivor fan, and there's a contestant called Boston Rob who's very famous. So everybody assumes that that's why I was doing it. And I was like, no, it's really not. But yeah.
Boston Mednick is super cool.
Thanks. Yeah,
and I do like the B sound with Mednick.
Okay. Well, we've got a month left, hopefully, as long as this baby doesn't surprise us, which would be an unwelcome surprise at this point. We're not ready psychologically, or I'm not.
Physically ready, mentally ready.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining me. Where can people learn more about you, Steph? And where can people follow you on social media? And what's your website? And I'll put that all in the episode notes as well.
Sure. Awesome. Yeah. So on all my socials, I'm at Names with Steph. And then you can also find my consultations and my info. And I have a book. It's called Names Don't Have a Gender. And you can pick that up at Amazon or nameswithsteph.com.
Amazing. I think it's such a cool topic to discuss, such a cool job you have, and really helpful to anybody who's having kids or is just interested in names. So thank you so, so much for joining me, Steph Cofield.
Thank you for having me.
And thank you, everybody, for listening to another episode of Preconceived. We shall see what we do with our baby's name, and I will keep you posted. Have a great day.
Need
new glasses, or want a fresh new style, Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.